In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Thus says our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in the upper room on the night when he will be betrayed. But his disciples had no clue what he was talking about. They should have. He had told them time and time again that he must suffer and die and rise again on the third day. Indeed, this is the very reason he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He came for the hour which is only a very little while from coming when he speaks these words to them. The hour of his glorification on the cross, where he will finish the work of salvation for sinful mankind. The disciples should have known. He had been very clear with them about his mission. Not only that, but the Old Testament scriptures from Genesis to Malachi testify about the little whiles of which our Lord speaks here. The whole point of those scriptures is to point forward to the little while of our Lord's pilgrimage among us in the flesh, the little while of his perfect sinless life lived in our place, and the little while of his passion and perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and the little while of his Sabbath rest in the tomb before he rises from the dead on the third day, and the little while of the 40 days after his resurrection, during which he made many appearances to his disciples in his resurrected and glorified flesh, and the little while of the 10 days between his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit in power on the day of Pentecost, and the little while of the New Testament era, the last days of these past 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, the last little while of God's plan to restore all things. The disciples should have known what their Lord was talking about. They should have known that Jesus would be taken away from them in a little while to be arrested, tried, mocked, spit upon, beaten, and crucified, but that he would rise from the dead and appear to them again a little while later. He had told them this, he had been very clear about it, and all the scriptures testify to this. Thus, their confusion in that upper room that night, their inability to understand what Jesus is talking about, leaves us scratching our heads. How could they not get it? Did they not listen? Were they really that dense? What's wrong with these disciples of Jesus? Ah, but not so fast, O sinner. What you should really be asking yourself is not what's wrong with these confused disciples, but what's wrong with yourself. Why don't you get it? Do you not listen? Are you really that dense? What's wrong with you? For truth be told, you often live as though you have not heard a single word Jesus has spoken to you, as if the promises he has made to you have been spoken to you in some foreign language beyond your understanding and comprehension. This is especially true when pain and suffering, sorrow and mourning come your way in this veil of tears. You forget that your Lord Jesus has told you beforehand that you would have to endure trials and tribulations in this life. You forget that he has made it very clear in his word that on this side of glory, you will be surrounded by unhappiness, stress, sadness, marital strife, addictions, family complications, broken relationships, financial difficulties, diseases, aches and pains, natural catastrophes, and death itself. And so, when the sorrows of life in this fallen and broken world befall you, You often act as if your Lord doesn't even exist and hide yourselves in the upper room of doubt, fear, and unbelief. You begin entertaining those doubt-filled questions. Is God really there? And if God is really there, why is he allowing this to happen to me? Does he not love me? Repent. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, for he is faithful to his promises. He does love you. He is there for you. Your suffering will not last. Your pain will not win out in the end, for nothing can separate you from the love of God which is yours in Christ Jesus, not even death. In a little while, your sorrow will be turned to joy. Your weeping and lamenting will be turned to rejoicing. Your pain and suffering will be replaced by peace and comfort. Your entire life in this world, in this vale of tears, in this valley of the shadow of death, is but a little while. And the older you get, the more you realize how true that is. But this little while of earthly life you're given is not all that there is. In fact, compared to eternity, this little while is like but a single drop of water in the ocean. Dear friends, whatever you're suffering, whatever pain you're enduring, whatever difficulties you're facing, it will only last a little while. For your Lord Jesus has prepared a place for you, and he will come back to take you to be where he is. Then, your little whiles of weeping and lamenting will give way to eternal joy, and you will not even remember the pain and suffering you endured here. Much like a mother who no longer remembers the pain and anguish of labor upon the delivery of her newborn baby, so filled with joy at the birth of her child is she. And know this, dear friends, this present age, this fallen world, will only be here for a little while longer. For our Lord Jesus Christ will return in great glory, just as you confess, just as he promised. He promised to make his first advent among us in the flesh to save us, and so he did. And he promises to return in great glory on the last day to usher in the new heavens and new earth of his eternal kingdom. And so he will. And what a glorious day that will be. For on that day, the groaning of this fallen creation will finally cease, and your bodies will be raised, or changed if you happen to be alive on the earth when this day comes. Your bodies will be raised or changed incorruptible, no longer susceptible to sin and its effects. For sin will be done away with for good, and you will dwell forever in perfect and glorified bodies. Imagine that. Bodies which experience no more pain, no more aches, no more coughs and runny noses, no more exhaustion and fatigue, no more broken bones or scrapes and bruises, no more hunger and thirst, no more disease. There will no longer be any need to diet or to monitor your blood pressure or watch your cholesterol or take all those pills you're taking now. Yes, indeed, what a glorious day that will be. And your Lord Jesus would have you live in expectation of that day, my friends. He would have you keep watch, stay alert, and be ready, for you do not know when that day will come. He would have you know what St. Peter reminds you of this morning, that you are sojourners and exiles in this world, for you have been baptized into Christ and made citizens of his eternal kingdom. You are in this world, but not of this world. For you have been adopted into his divine family and made fellow heirs with him of his kingdom, which is not of this world. This, of course, means that living in this fallen and broken world is doubly hard for you Christians. For you not only must endure the pain and suffering and sorrow common to all sinful humanity here, but you also must endure the pain and sorrow of being homesick. Thus does your Lord Jesus make himself present among you here in the upper room of his holy church. He comes during the little while of your earthly sojourn to be with you and to feed you. For here in his holy house, heaven and earth come together as one, and you are given a foretaste of the feast to come, a little taste of heaven, your home. For here your Lord visits you with salvation. He absolves you of all your sins, wipes your slate clean, and gives you a fresh start. He feeds you on his sung, read, and preached word, and gives you to feast on his very body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, the heavenly manna given to sustain you as you journey through the wilderness of this sinful world, on your way to the promised land, your home, his eternal kingdom. The divine gifts you receive from the gracious and merciful hand of your Lord here strengthen and preserve your faith and enliven and empower you that you might, in the words of that ancient prayer, endure all crosses, sicknesses, and trials in patience and trust until the Lord grant you deliverance, peace, and health. Dearly beloved, it will only be a little while longer, and then you shall be set free from sin and all its devastating effects forever. Until then, continue to come to this oasis where your Lord Jesus gives you to drink of the living water of his holy word and sacraments, that you may endure all the little wiles of sorrow that come your way, knowing with certainty that they simply do not compare to the glory which awaits you. For your sorrow will not last. Soon your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take away your joy from you. For you are forgiven, you are saved, you belong to the Lord, you bear his name, and in just a little while, you will dwell in his house forever. Believe it, live it, bear witness to it, for you know it's true, for you know that he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.